You're listening to an audio resource from Vineyard Church of the Rockies in Fort Collins, Colorado. We are joining God's mission, transforming all things, and you're invited. To learn more about us and how you can connect, please visit votr.church.
Well, if we haven't met before, my name is Corey, and I'm the worship director here at the Vineyard, and I'm excited to be continuing our study in the book of Jeremiah today. But before we read today's passage, I have a question for you to think about. What are you most proud of? What are you most proud of? When you think over your life so far, what are your proudest moments? Maybe another way to ask it is what do you want people to know about you? Whether we realize it or not, we are actually answering this question all the time. One place we answer this question is on our social media profiles. We have a little bio section where we can put anything there that we want people to know about us. It's kind of the first impressions. Here's the stats. Here's what I want you to know. Here's the highlights. And so just for fun, I spent a little time this week looking at some of your social media profiles. And don't worry, I won't tell you who is who, but I am going to share a few of the ones that I found. So you can guess if you think you might know who it is, but I won't tell you. So here's what I found on your social media profiles. Maranatha, do things that matter. It's beautiful. Child of God and proud to be. I might look at you. Some people never outgrow their horse phase. Ooh. Follower of Jesus, grandma, mom, wife, survivor of cancer. Fort Collins artist engineer. This one you'll probably know. Married to Natalie Faust and father of three. His is very straightforward and specific. So that's obviously Jeff's. Anyways, we all have things we want people to know about us. Maybe it's your family, your career, your accomplishments. Maybe it's your ministry, your education, athletic ability, influence, or the life that you've worked really hard for. And none of these things are necessarily bad. But what happens when these things become what we're most proud of? Timothy Keller once said, "The ego is incredibly busy. In other words, it is always drawing attention to itself. It is incredibly busy trying to fill the emptiness, and it is incredibly busy doing two things in particular, comparing and boasting." We do this. We compare ourselves to other people. We boast about ourselves, and we naturally draw attention to the things that we think make us valuable. We are really proud people. This is what we do. And this is exactly what Jeremiah speaks to in chapter 9. So we're going to look at Jeremiah 9, verses 23 through 24 this morning. So let's read these together. This is what the Lord says. Don't let the wise boast in their wisdom, or the powerful boast in their power, or the rich boast in their riches. But those who wish to boast should boast in this alone, that they truly know me and understand that I am the Lord, who demonstrates unfailing love and who brings justice and righteousness to the earth, and that I delight in these things. I, the Lord, have spoken. Now, at first you might read this scripture and think that it's just simply a warning against pride, but if we look at it a little bit closer, we actually see that boasting isn't the problem Jeremiah is talking about. We can boast. It's what we boast about that is the problem. We're boasting in the wrong things. It's one of the first things we see in the scripture. But before we go any further, we need to understand what Jeremiah means by the word boast. Because in English, it usually sounds like arrogance or bragging. But the Hebrew word is a little richer than that. In this scripture, it means to shine a light on or to praise something. Or even more interesting, it also means to act foolish or to act like a madman. I thought that was really interesting. But this is so helpful in understanding the biblical meaning of boast. What are the things that make you act a little crazy? What are the things that we celebrate? What are the things that we shine light on and want people to know about in our lives? Because that's what Jeremiah is talking about here. Boasting isn't simply about bragging. It's about what gets our attention, our affection, and our praise. Let's look at Jeremiah 9, verse 23 again, because he gives us three different examples of misplaced boasting. He says, don't let the wise boast in their wisdom, or the powerful boast in their power, or the rich boast in their riches. He gives us three examples: wisdom, power, and money. And notice that he doesn't say it's wrong to have any of those things. That's not what he says. The problem isn't the gifts. The problem is when the gifts receive the glory that belongs only to God. That's the problem Jeremiah is talking about here. We can be grateful for God's gifts without making them the center of our identity. We can enjoy the gifts from God without worshiping them. Like Jeff talked about a few weeks ago, these things can so easily become idols in our lives, and if we aren't careful, they very quickly take the throne of our hearts, which is God's place. But the gifts aren't the problem. So are you wise? Has the Lord gifted you with wisdom? Then praise God. But know who the wisdom came for and give all glory to him, not to the wisdom itself. Are you powerful? That's amazing. Not everyone is given the same amount of power or influence. And so boast in the God who gave you your position, but not in the position itself. And are you rich? Thank God for abundance. But again, boast in the God who extravagantly provided, not in the provision itself. Don't boast in the wrong things. Whether it's wisdom, power, riches, or whatever it is for you, all of these things have the same thing in common. They're all things of this world. And since they're part of this world, that means that they're all temporary. Wisdom fades, positions change, wealth comes and goes. None of it lasts forever, and none of it goes with us when this life is over. It's all temporary. But just because they're temporary doesn't mean that those gifts don't matter. God gives good gifts on purpose. He loves to give good gifts. The question is isn't whether we should use them, but what we should use them for. Almost 10 years ago, when I was in a discipleship school in Kansas City, this is where I met Jeff and Natalie, I learned about this word that stuck with me ever since. It's the word magis. It's a Latin word that means more or greater, but not as in accomplishing more. It came from the teachings of St. Ignatius of Loyola, and it describes living for the greater glory of God and the well-being of his people. Living for the greater glory of God and the well-being of his people. I love this word. I love this word so much. I got it tattooed on my ankle. And actually, me and a bunch of my classmates, when we were in this discipleship school, we just fell in love with this word. So actually, a bunch of us went, and we all got the same tattoo. So I love this word. It just means so much. And it's so helpful when thinking about the gifts that God has given us. What gifts has he given you? Are you finding your identity in those things? Or have you received them with a thankful heart and asked, Lord, how can I use what you've given me for your glory and for the good of your people? How can I take the gifts you've given me and live a magis lifestyle for the greater glory of God and the well-being of his people? Because that's why he gave us those gifts. God never intended his gifts to become the object of our praise. They're meant to point us back to the giver, to serve him and to serve his people. The world celebrates success, influence, and wealth, but the people of God celebrate something different. We celebrate the God who gives every good gift. We boast in him, not in the gifts. Let's look back at verse 24. It says, but those who wish to boast should boast in this alone, that they truly know me and understand that I am the Lord. Remember, boasting isn't the problem. It's what we boast about. So Jeremiah says, if you want to boast, boast about this, that you understand and know God. Boast in understanding and knowing God. These are the things that we should boast about. These are the things that we should be proud about. And this isn't just an Old Testament idea. This It's all over the New Testament. I actually had a really hard time sticking to the scripture in Jeremiah because I just wanted to use all of the scriptures from the New Testament because there's so many verses that talk about this. But let's look at just one. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 1:31. It says, "Therefore, as the scriptures say, if you want to boast, boast only about the Lord." Even Paul said, if you want to boast, do it, but boast about the Lord. And you can only boast about knowing God if you actually know him. You have to know him in order to boast about this. Something embarrassing that I do, and I doubt I'm the only one, but I hope not, is pretend I know something that I really know nothing about. Does anybody else do that? It's super embarrassing. I do it. I do that. Like, I'll be talking to someone and they'll ask me if I know about a movie or like a music artist. And I'll be like, oh yeah, totally. I'm with you. I know. Yeah, that's a great song. Or yeah, I love that movie. So good. But then I have to spend the next 5 minutes smiling, nodding, and pretending that I know what they're talking about and just praying they don't ask a single follow-up question because I will get found out. And I don't know why, but these are the types of conversations that just don't end. Like, you're in them and you're like, please, can we just change the subject? I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know why I do this, but you cannot talk about a movie that you don't know about. Like, I can't tell you my favorite part of a movie if I don't know about it. So I don't know why I do this. I don't know why I don't say, yeah, I don't know what that is. Tell me about it. I don't do that. Growing up this. So, oh, don't talk to me about movies. I don't know. But it's the same with God. We do this with God. Because we can pretend to know him because we know the stories, we know the songs, we know the right answers, but you can't boast about knowing God if you don't actually know him. You can repeat stories, you can repeat lyrics from songs, but that's different from talking about God from a place of knowing him. So what does it mean to understand God and to have knowledge of him? Because they're actually two different things. The difference here is that we can understand God mentally, but we can know God intimately. This is the difference. Understanding God mentally versus knowing God intimately. They're different. We can understand who God is in our mind. We can know the facts, understand what the Bible says he's like, what he's done, the stories. We can grow in this through all sorts of things. Bible study, podcasts, listening to preachers. But we know God by experiencing firsthand what he's like. And we grow in knowing him through experience of him, more experience of him. Knowing God happens when our understanding of him moves from our head to our hearts. This is when we know God. And we know that this is what Jeremiah is talking about in this verse because the Hebrew word for to know in verse 24 is yada. And it refers to the relational knowledge you get through experience with someone rather than just learning the facts. This is the word that he uses in this verse. And that's what he's talking about when he says knowing God, yada. Think about it this way. Who in here likes burritos? Okay, me too. Love a good burrito. So it's one thing to study a burrito, right? You probably know where this is going, but I'm gonna say it anyways. It's one thing to study a burrito, right? We could go to Consuelo's right now, open it up on this table, and study the burrito. We could take it apart, look at all the ingredients, see what's in it, figure out what the nutritional value is of everything you're gonna put in all your macros, blah, 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 whatever you're gonna do. You could figure out what's all in that burrito that you would eat. And you could tell by the ingredients, this is probably a pretty good burrito. You could study it and know the facts about that burrito. But it's a totally different thing to then go and eat the burrito. You can look at the ingredients and say, man, that's probably a really good burrito. But it's a different thing to taste and see that the burrito is good. To experience for yourself, that's a good burrito. It's different, right? And in the same way, we can study more about God, which is good. That's one of the things the scripture tells us to do, to boast in understanding God. So we need to grow in that too. But that's different from tasting and seeing for yourself that the Lord is good. They're different. When study leads to experience of God, this is knowing the Lord. We don't want to just be educated about him. We want to experience God for ourselves. This is the difference between understanding and knowing. Another example that's not about burritos is, take Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. Even when I walk through the darkest valley, I shall not be afraid. Right? Psalm 23. You could read that and you could study it. You could memorize it. You could even preach it. But understanding that God is the shepherd is different from knowing God as the shepherd. Knowing that God is the shepherd is different from knowing him as the shepherd. Because when you know the shepherd, then you shall not want. When you know the shepherd and you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, then you will not fear. This doesn't happen by just understanding Psalm 23. This happens by knowing the shepherd, by knowing God. Do you know God in this way? Do you know the Father? Do you know Jesus? If you've never started a relationship with Jesus and you want to know God in the way that I'm talking about, you can decide to follow Jesus starting today. Because God wants to be in relationship with you, to be close to you, to be known by you. And so later in our service, if you're wanting to do that, I'll help you make that decision. Because giving your life to Jesus and knowing him in this way, it changes everything. When it goes from just study to experience or understanding to knowledge, it changes everything. And as we grow in our understanding and our knowledge of God, we will begin to learn what God is about, what God has done, the acts of God, and we'll start experiencing those things in our lives. And once you begin to see that God is worthy of all praise, you won't want to boast in lesser things. You won't want to, because God is so good. And you've experienced that he's good. So let's look at verse 24 again. It says, but those who wish to boast should boast in this alone, that they truly know me and understand that I am the Lord, who demonstrates unfailing love and who brings justice and righteousness to the earth, and that I delight in these things. As we understand and know God more, we will begin to learn a few things. First, you'll begin to learn what God is about. Jeremiah lists a few of these things. He said that God, that he's a God of unfailing love, that he is a God of justice, and that he brings righteousness to the earth. This is our God. This is what he's like. Unfailing love, justice, and righteousness are all what theologians call the attributes of God. And that's just a really fancy way of saying they're his characteristics. They tell us what he's like. And when you know someone, you begin to know their character. The same is true with God. As you get to know him more, you're going to know what he's like. Because this is who he is. He's always been loving. He's always been just. He's always been righteous. God doesn't change. His character has been consistent from the beginning of time and will remain the same forever. So when you learn about the attributes of God and you learn about who he is, you can trust that this is who he is. This is who he's always been. He's not going to change. And the attributes Jeremiah mentions here are just a few of them. There are a lot more. A few years ago when I was our youth director here, we spent a whole series studying this. And we could get really nerdy and start talking about the communicable and the incommunicable attributes of God. That'd be a whole different talk. So if you want to know more about the attributes of God, go ask one of our youth students and see what they remember. Report back or don't. It's fine. But it was so fun. So feel free to go and ask them. I love learning about the attributes of God. And so I listed a few resources in my sermon notes if you are interested in learning more about them too. One of them is this beautiful study by the Daily Grace Company. I love pretty much anything that they put out. Their illustrations are really beautiful, and they just do a really good job of talking about the different subjects in their studies. So I linked this study in my sermon notes and also a book in there too, if you want to learn more about the attributes of God. But as we grow in relationship with God, you will learn what he is about. But another thing you'll begin to see is what God has done. What he's done in the world, in your life, and then the lives of those around you. And you can boast in what God has done. Think about your own story. How have you seen God move? Jeremiah says that God demonstrates unfailing love, justice, and righteousness. So where have you seen those things in your life? How has God shown you his love? Where have you experienced his justice? And how have you seen his righteousness? Think about the ways God has healed you, provided for you, set you free, comforted you, or blessed you. Think about the ways you've seen him do these same things in the lives of people around you and in your family. This is who God is. And it says that God delights in these things. He delights in them. And so if these are things that God delights in, then we should delight in them too. We should talk about them too. Let's become people who talk more about what God has done than what we have done. Let's tell stories of his faithfulness. Let's celebrate his love. Let's shine a light on the God who is loving, just, righteous, faithful, and good. Let these be the things that we boast about, who our God is and what he's done. Because the reality is that when we talk to others, we're always pointing people somewhere. We're all telling stories and we're all shining a light on something. The question we need to ask ourselves is, where is the spotlight pointed? Is it pointed at us or is it pointed at God? Because I wonder what would happen if people walked away from conversations with us thinking more about God than thinking about us. What would those conversations look like? So let's finish with the same question we started with. What are you most proud of? What are you a fool for? What do you shine light on? This is important to think about because what you spend your life boasting about is likely what you're going to be remembered for. What you spend your life talking about is probably what you'll be remembered for. Maybe it's your career, your accomplishments, your influence, or your family. Maybe it's even really spiritual things, like all of the miracles that you've seen, or the ministry you're involved in, how much you give, or how much you serve. But even things that are spiritual can still become about us instead of about God. It just sounds a little better. But it still becomes about us. When I think about this question and what I want to be remembered for someday, I don't want people to say, man, Corey loved her Honda Odyssey. That's not what I want people to say. Or, wow, Corey was amazing. I'll never forget how clean her house was every time I went over there. It was just so clean. No, I don't want people talking about those things when my life is over. I don't want to spend my life bragging about my used minivan with a broken door and my house that is only clean because everything is shoved in the laundry room. Please, Lord, do not let me be remembered for those things. I want to be remembered as someone who bragged on Jesus. And when my kids are grown up and they talk about me someday, I hope they say, my mom knew God. She really knew him. She walked with him every day. She was close to the Lord. Because that's the inheritance I want to leave behind. Not just a financial inheritance, but a spiritual inheritance. And then I'd love to be at the point someday where someone looks at my life, not because it's perfect and not because I'm impressive, but because they've seen a closeness with Jesus and they say, I want what you have. And they're not talking about my car or my house or my job, but they're talking about my relationship with Jesus. This is what Jeremiah is inviting us into. A life that boasts less in ourselves and more in the Lord. So what do you want to be remembered for? Let's pray together.